The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.
You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin. And joining me today is Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning, Dr. Slavin.
You know, when you're not here at the studio, you never know if you're going to be on the line unless they tell me.
Well, here I am. I'm at Tropical Financial Credit Union, and as part of their human resources programs for health support for their employees, every 2 weeks I come and weigh in and give a little bit of information to their employees about achieving and maintaining a healthy weight. And so that's where I am this morning.
All right. I want to start off today about a report that talks about statins. I think our listeners know our position on statins, and that's we don't recommend them because, except in rare instances, is lowering cholesterol derive any benefit to the patient? Think about this for a little bit. If first they told you, stop eating cholesterol-laden foods, and but they forgot to tell you that cholesterol, the majority, is made in your body, not from your diet. So they misled the public in that way. You know, then they said, you know, cut out the fat where the cholesterol might be found and switch over to carbohydrates. Well, that's precisely the diet that's going to raise your cholesterol. And then, you know, study after study comes out questioning the real effectiveness of lowering your cholesterol with statin drugs, especially if you're eating the diet that promotes the rise of cholesterol in your body. It's the diet that's the problem. And, you know, as more and more studies come out, the drug companies have to start looking for alternative uses for statins. So here's what a researcher out of University of Ireland said. Lowering cholesterol with medications for primary cardiovascular prevention in those over the age of 60 is a total waste of time and resources, whereas altering your lifestyle is the single most important way to achieve a good quality of life. And I think that sums it up for a lot of things, not just for statin drugs. I mean, you have to understand what kinds of lifestyle promote health and what kind of lifestyle undermines health. The British Medical Journal had a study, and they found that among people over the age of 60 having higher levels of LDL, cholesterol was not actually associated with earlier death. So that's the LDL cholesterol being high was not associated with early death. In fact, 92% of those with high LDL cholesterol actually live longer than people with lower levels. And they keep lowering the acceptable level. They want the LDL now to be under 100. Older people with high levels of the so-called bad cholesterol, that's the LDL cholesterol, lived longer and had less heart disease. It shouldn't come as a surprise again, that you know, it seems that the public is being misled, and I'm not sure who's doing the misleading. you know, is it the drug companies or is it the doctors? Is this like, you know that game you used to play as a kid, telephone, where you'd whisper something into someone's ear and they'd whisper it and it'd go around in a big circle and then the last person would repeat what he heard and it would be entirely different than what they heard initially. I'm wondering, you know, if that happens here where, you know, the original message gets distorted. So the key is, rather than artificially lowering cholesterol with drugs, and you know what? We could replace cholesterol with blood sugar, with high blood pressure. Instead of artificially lowering, in this case, cholesterol, people should use lifestyle methods such as improved diet and exercise and quit smoking, which have all actually been proven to lower heart disease risk and lengthen life, as opposed to artificially lowering cholesterol with statins, which hasn't been proven to do any of that. They go on to say the benefits from statin treatments have been exaggerated. And that was the conclusion of a 2015 review in the Expert Review of Clinical Pharmacology, which found that statins actually only lowered heart disease risk by 1%, not the 36 to 54% that drug companies say it does. The study also found that media reports consistently ignored high rates of serious side effects. Those side effects include increased rates of cancer, cataracts, diabetes, cognitive impairment, you know, like memory issues, musculoskeletal disorders, like rhabdomyolysis, and those problems more than offset the modest cardiovascular benefit of statin treatment. So I guess the as more and more people understand this information regarding the use of statin drugs, and with the American Heart Association and the American College of Cardiology still recommending that one-third of U.S. adults take statins, you know, we're not going to see the change too soon, except, Janet, I know in the patients we see here, they don't like to take statins. I'm just wondering, what about the people you see, Janet?
Well, this is an interesting part of the discussion, Dr. Slavin, because for sure the people that I have been seeing, they want to use a natural substance to lower cholesterol. And so one of the substances that has been marketed along with cholesterol-lowering drugs is a natural substance called red yeast rice. And what I try to tell people is even red yeast rice has the potential to produce certain side effects, and those side effects would be literally the same side effects associated with cholesterol-lowering drugs. So muscle aches and pains, joint problems, liver problems, digestive problems, those are just to name a few, some of the side effects associated with artificially lowering cholesterol with red yeast rice. Then a combination of red yeast rice with coenzyme Q10 is one of the formulas that's marketed in a lot of the different health food stores. When you are taking either a statin drug or red yeast rice, you have the very high potential for lowering your body's ability to produce coenzyme Q10. CoQ10 is found in the highest concentrations in your heart muscle. So when you lower CoQ10, you have made a metabolic move that endangers how well your heart is going to function. And so when I see the combination of red yeast rice with CoQ10, I think, okay, well, you're taking the red yeast rice, but it's going to neutralize the ability of the CoQ10 to function. If you're going to take red yeast rice or a statin drug, make sure that you're taking CoQ10 at a separate time. But keep in mind, even the natural substance, red yeast rice, has some of the same side effects as statin pharmaceuticals.
Well, again, we have to just refer back to lifestyle, you know, change, remove the causes of the high cholesterol. Only a small percentage of the public actually has the condition called familial hypercholesterolemia. You know, it's a genetic issue. The rest of the population creates their own cholesterol problems due to their diet. And we could say the same thing about diabetes. You know, most people don't realize that only 10% of diabetics are insulin dependent. The other 90% of diabetics are self-created through, you know, through a diet that promotes insulin resistance, and then ultimately what they call non-insulin dependent diabetes. But here's an interesting fact. So the drug companies are preparing for a decrease in the use of statins as more and more people understand their real lack of effectiveness. And they're referring to a new breast cancer research study where they found that cancer patients with the highest cholesterol levels were least likely to die from the disease. So, okay, that makes sense. So how does a statin, which lowers cholesterol, fit into this? It's kind of interesting. Instead of drawing the obvious conclusion from this research that cholesterol, an essential nutrient, might play a role in helping the body fight cancer, the researchers instead concluded that cholesterol-lowering statins must be responsible. It's kind of a mixed-up way of looking at things, but it just seems to me that when you're on the payroll to come up with certain conclusions, you'll figure out a way to do it. But right now it's time for a break. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist, and we'll be back right after this.
Have you ever heard of someone going to see the doctor for a checkup or a sore throat or some common complaint, and in that visit they were diagnosed with a much more serious issue? The story I remember is the one about someone taking blood tests before cosmetic surgery, and those blood tests saved the life of the patient by discovering colon cancer. So don't be surprised. Come to Advanced Medical Testing for comprehensive testing to assure wellness. Call 754-216-2332 to schedule an appointment and get the information you need about advanced medical testing, or visit amtcenters.com. That's 754-216-2332 or amtcenters.com.
Are you looking for expert advice on how to improve your health but want to do it from the comfort of your home? Now you can conveniently schedule remote consultations with Janet Cimarelli at janetcimarelli.com. Janet is a licensed nutrition counselor specializing in the field of natural foods and supplements. Janet offers consultations via phone, Skype, or email with the convenient and flexible times to meet the needs of your busy life. Janet will educate you on how to manage your diet and lifestyle to overcome illness. Her areas of expertise include allergies, diabetes, heart disease, hormone replacement, weight management, insomnia, and healthy aging. Don't wait. Schedule your appointment with Janet, and she'll guide you to change your diet and change your life. Take control of your health at janetcimarelli.com and tune in to hear Janet on Natural Doc Radio, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m., right here on this station.
Listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herbst, Janet, licensed nutritionist. And Janet, we're going to finish up this topic, and then I'm going to introduce our guest, and then we're going to switch topics. But right now we were talking about how the drug companies are getting ready to promote the use of statins to prevent cancer. And it's said that certain studies suggest that cholesterol may play a role in fueling certain forms of cancer, but early studies also have linked high cholesterol with heart disease and cardiovascular mortality, and we know how that's turned out. And you know, when you're given a research grant to come up with a certain conclusion, that's usually the conclusion they come up with. So to finish up this topic, the take home is a good diet is still one of the single most effective ways to avoid both heart disease and cancer. And Janet, can you define a good diet for our listeners? Because I think that's where part of the problem is.
Oh, goodness, Dr. Slavin. One high in vegetables, one that includes health-supporting fats from nuts and seeds. I would include some of the omega-3 fatty acids available from fish. And one that is going to be supportive of mineral, trace mineral content. And that isn't so easy to do. Sometimes because of the deficiency in trace minerals in our vegetables and in our other sources of minerals and trace minerals, those environmentally sourced nutrients are in very short supply or totally depleted. So there would be, I'm going to say one of the most critically important and neglected areas of our diets would be vegetables.
All right. I'm going to add one more thing. And this is the most important thing that people can do. Cut back on the carbohydrates and sugar. Right, Janet?
Well, okay. Okay.
So when we talk about carbohydrates, then we're talking about the grains primarily, and then the sugar. And then you want to avoid also all the artificial sweeteners.
Dr. Slavin, I have to jump in here and say people get confused because the source of carbohydrates that's very health-supporting are vegetables. The source of carbohydrates that are detrimental and contribute to accumulating body size and to other health issues would be the grains, and contributing to unstable blood sugar is overconsumption of fruit. And so what I say is if you're going to overconsume something, make it vegetables, and those that vegetable source carbohydrate is health supporting, whereas the carbohydrates available in grains and the carbohydrates available in fruits each have their own issues, where you'd have to have very modest intake of those two categories.
All right. I think the I had a patient yesterday, you know, I said, you got to cut back on the bread. She said, I can't do that. I'm addicted. And that's what happens with carbohydrates. It's they're highly addictive because of the body's conversion of all these carbs into sugar. And we know that sugar is a highly addictive substance. But that's where all these problems originate from. The two biggest killers, heart disease and cancer, can be diminished if people would change their diet. Janet, we have a guest that I want to introduce right now, Dr. Colleen Galvin. And I'm going to let her give our listeners a little bit of her background. And then there's a topic we're going to talk about that in some circles might be considered controversial. And perhaps she could enlighten everybody as to best utilize this approach to certain conditions. Good morning, Dr. Galvin.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
So why don't you give us a little background about yourself and, you know, the areas that are of your greatest interest, and then we'll, you know, we'll get into it a little bit further from there.
Sure. collegiately, I went to Tulane University and in my last year got involved with the study of public health, where I continued at Pontificia University in the, I keep almost wanting to say that in Portuguese, Pontificia Universidade Católica. And after that, I got a degree in Oriental Medicine and Acupuncture, followed by a physician assistant degree at an osteopathic school, where I took advantage of learning how to do osteopathic manipulation. And finally, board certification in 1999 as a naturopathic physician. All of this in California. They don't recognize naturopaths here in Florida. So I moved here 2 years ago. And with in excess of 20 years practicing medicine, back in about 07, 08, I was introduced to the uses of platelet-rich plasma and stem cells and the benefit it could have for, I started with, in aesthetic medicine, applying it in facial treatments. And my research and passion and application has just continued since 2007.
So it's an interesting topic you brought up about naturopathic physicians. They're recognized in California.
In many states, but California among them.
Yeah. And I know some of the schools are actually in, is it Washington State is a big naturopathic?
Bastyr right. University in Washington State actually shares part of their campus with the National Institute of Health. So they're extremely well recognized. It's a 4-year course of study, just like medical school.
So is there any explanation why in Florida naturopaths are not recognized?
I have no idea. But there are other states. You know, it's recognized in Oregon, California, Washington, Arizona. I know I'm going to be missing something. Oklahoma, I believe. It's odd the states that have picked and chosen.
So here's a good example of the name telling the public what you do. So a naturopath, as the name implies, wants to utilize natural approaches to healing and natural approaches to preventing illness.
Right.
Whereas you have your typical doctor who doesn't tell you what they do. And as I mentioned before, they should change their name to prescriptionists. So then you would know what they're all about. If you want a prescription, then you go to a medical doctor. If you want natural healing, you see a naturopath, except in Florida, where you're not allowed to tell anybody someone's a naturopath.
Right.
Right?
I remember, funny, isn't it?
You know, putting on the door, you know, the initials ND after someone's name, and the Board of Medicine said, you can't do that.
Yeah, closed you down.
You know, so then, you know, I just put DR before the name, and I was okay with them. It doesn't make any sense why they should, again, hide that information from the public.
Yeah, it's my understanding, actually, that it was
legal at one time,
and
yes.
Recognized, and then the last naturopath that was grandfathered in, and he was fine, I believe, around turn of the century, about 2000, he passed away, and they didn't renew the licensure mm-hmm. at that time. So I don't know why it could make local government more money having more tests and more certificates and more regulation, for God's sakes.
It's probably very complicated because I think, as a rule, naturopaths are less prone to prescribe prescription drugs.
Right.
And we know that healthcare is controlled to a large extent by the drug companies, so they probably don't want the competition. Janet, do you have any thoughts on this topic?
Well, the Board of Medicine in Florida, I believe, is very much in step with, let's say, the AMA which would be mainstream medical practice and utilizing the typical tools that you talk about, Dr. Slavin, with regard to prescriptions, pharmaceutical chemicals, surgical procedures, chemotherapy, and radiation. And a naturopathic approach would have no connection with any of those. A naturopathic approach would be certainly in the realm of preventing the need for any of those approaches, those means of practicing so-called healthcare. And by preventing illness, which would be what a naturopath focus would be, you're going to seriously interfere with the economic flow into medical facilities.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I think the real reason is the medical establishment just wants as many healthcare providers prescribing drugs as possible. That's why you'll see pharmacies now employing nurse practitioners in their facilities. They'll see, you know, they'll see the patient, write a script out, and they'll get it filled right there. It's not to say that drugs are never needed. They're just not needed as much as they're being promoted as being needed. Especially, and you know what it is too? The healthcare providers are not giving the patients the alternative option to drugs. For example, they don't tell the patient before they prescribe the statin drug, by the way, you can get better results if you change your diet. Or the one that has insulin resistance and or early signs of non-insulin dependent diabetes, if you change your diet and lose weight, you won't need these drugs. Instead, they just hand out the drugs, and the same thing is true for high blood pressure. They don't tell the patient, you know, you won't need to take these drugs if you remove the underlying cause of the problem. So more and more people on drugs, and as we've talked about before, more drugs are used in this country probably than the rest of the world combined. Yet we're about fourth on the 40th on the list of life expectancy around the world. So the drugs obviously are not the solution. When we come back, we're going to talk about some other areas that some people might find controversial. That's PRP or platelet-rich plasma, and a new and upcoming area, the use of stem cells. And the reason it's controversial is because they make a good case for avoiding drugs and using more natural substances. But right now it's time for us to take a break. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist, and our guest, Dr. Colleen Galvin. And we'll be back right after this.
Advanced Medicine brings you the latest in natural health care, reviewing the published research, attending conferences with health experts from around the world. That allows the healthcare team at the Institute of Advanced Medicine in Lauder Hill to provide you the quality and experience you're searching for in a healthcare team. Testing to target your individual needs and treating with natural and holistic approaches, the goal is wellness. You can reach the Institute of Advanced Medicine easily on Commercial Boulevard just west of the Florida Turnpike or three blocks east of University Drive in Lauder Hill. You can call us 954-748-4991. To learn more, 954-748-4991.
Advanced Medical Testing Centers is proud to sponsor Natural Doc Radio, co-hosted by Herbert Slavin and Janet Cimarelli. They're located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, Suite 209 in Lauder Hill. And you can find them on the web at advancedmedicaltesting.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is your premier blood draw center, staffed by professionals with over 15 years' experience. Clean, comfortable, and efficient. They guarantee your appointment time and guarantee the lowest prices. They test for cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, and more. They draw for all specialty labs, including Access, Health Diagnostics, Simulex, Innovative, Quest, LabCorp, and others. Call them today to set up an appointment. 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332.
Listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist, and our special guest today, Dr. Colleen Galvin. And I want to just preface our topic that we're going to talk about, platelet-rich plasma, with something that was written back in 2009. I think this is around the beginnings of the use of PRP, because you can go online and research PRP, and you're going to find pros and cons to the use of it. And here's what they said in this article. The headline was "A Promising Treatment for Athletes." And it starts off talking about two Pittsburgh Steelers, their biggest stars, since I don't follow them, you know, I'm not familiar with them, Hines Ward and Troy Polamalu, used their own blood in an innovative injury treatment before winning the Super Bowl. At least one major league pitcher, about 20 professional soccer players, and perhaps hundreds of recreational athletes have also undergone the procedure commonly called platelet-rich plasma therapy. Experts in sports medicine say that if the technique's early promise is fulfilled, it could eventually improve the treatment of stubborn injuries like tennis elbow and knee tendonitis for athletes of all type. Now, why would they be looking for something other than what they traditionally use, which would be the injection of steroids into the joints? Now, Dr. Galvin, do you have a comment on that? The use of steroids versus the use of alternative therapies.
Well, it's easier, it's faster. I was going to make that comment when... Yeah, at the break there when you all were talking about how natural medicine is a team approach. If you're going to boost the immune system, it takes some time. If there's a ball player out on the field, he comes to the side. Truthfully, a full PRP treatment for a tendon or ligament injury takes 12 minutes. It's not that long, but I think that... cortisone is the go-to anti-inflammatory to calm something down rapidly, but the consequences are also dire. You should only have three in an entire year in one particular joint. That should tell you something. It actually will eat bone and cartilage and suppress the immune system. So short-term, there are times when it's needed. Asthmatics needed in an acute situation, but long-term, it's really quite detrimental.
Well, it's like recommending yearly mammograms that, ultimately you're going to cause the cancer that the study is going to find. Some studies show that a yearly mammogram increases the risk of breast cancer by 1% a year. So you can do the math. Here's another example. You do enough intra-articular cortisone injections, and you're going to guarantee your patient for life because they're going to have a chronic problem. And what they were looking for is something that could actually, instead of cover up the symptoms of pain and reduce inflammation, actually help the joint heal so that person restores their health of the joint and doesn't have to have injections on a regular basis. If the injections were truly the answer, why would you need to do them on an ongoing basis? When you do it in the hip and the knee, I think over time you're going to ensure the destruction of the joint and the need for joint replacement, which is what the orthopedists look for. Typically, they'll say to a patient, when the joint gets bad enough, we'll just replace it, because they don't offer anything to the patient to say, no, let's intervene here so that we can prevent the need for a joint replacement. No, they never say that. And that's what they say with everything. when your heart, coronary arteries get blocked enough, we'll do bypass. They don't tell you what to do to prevent that, except to say take a statin, but we already know that doesn't prevent it, because if it did, the hospital beds would have emptied out by now. Everybody's on a statin drug, and it hasn't changed anything. Except more people have diabetes from it, more people have memory problems from it, more people have muscle aches and pains from it. But heart disease hasn't gone down from it. So PRP came along. I'm not even sure who first thought of that idea. Dr. Galvin, do you know?
It actually came out, it's been around for a long time. It was first used in the 1970s with dentists, actually, when someone had bone atrophy, sometimes from long-term steroid use, or they were needed a sinus lift, which is a procedure that dentists do as well. What they found was, in many cases, but not all, it's not consistent, is a stimulation of blood vessels, angiogenesis, and a stimulation of bone as well, and fibroblast development. So what you're doing is you're stimulating the fibrin nature or the fibrin matrix of a bone and stimulating blood to get there. So the dentists were very creative. They still use it to this day. And of course, in the 90s, it got a little bit more publicity. And now I think it's become quite prevalent. But in 2016, there are no large peer-reviewed mass studies on the effectiveness of PRP. And I think, you know, in part, you may have inconsistency because you're only as good as your cells. You're only as good as the milieu in which the cells are bathed. And a lot of people aren't healthy. So if we take a diabetic, take their cells and inject them into their knee, so it's called an autologous, it comes from you, no other origin, how good a result are we going to get with someone with a poor diet, multiple diseases, and we put their stem cells back in that same joint? So that's one of the reasons that medicine is so difficult these days, practiced in standard Western medicine, because they're spending 4 to 6 minutes per patient. You know, we need more time than that to educate patients as to how they can change their lives.
Here's some history about the use of PRP in treating injuries. Mm-hmm. It came about in part, perhaps, because from a cost standpoint, it's far less expensive than the alternative, which prior to PRP might have been surgery. So you're looking at a fraction of the cost of surgery. But here's what was interesting. PRP's therapy seems to be very effective in chronic elbow tendonitis, or tennis elbow. There was a study back in 2006 in the American Journal of Sports Medicine where they treated 15 to 20 patients with PRP as an alternative to going for surgery. And then you had just, as a control group, you had five that just received an anesthetic. And 2 months later, the patients receiving PRP therapy noted a 60% improvement in pain compared to 16% for the control group. There was another study done, and this was a double-blind randomized study on 54 patients with Achilles tendon injuries. And it's used for in other studies. They were looking at rotator cuff shoulder strains, and that's a common problem. That surgery is not the panacea that people think it is. I remember a patient telling me after he had the rotator cuff surgery, if he knew this was how he was going to be after surgery, he would have skipped the surgery. It's also used for partial knee ligament tears and bone fractures. And studies are also examining PRP therapy's possible use along with surgery, of course, perhaps to speed up the the healing process. So, but then again, I think whenever you hear a criticism of a new approach, they say, well, where are all the studies showing its effectiveness? And, you know, I say that about vaccinations. Where are all the studies showing its effectiveness? They seem to have a double standard. You know, when it's something they promote, you don't need the studies. And when it's something they don't like, show me the studies. Dr. Galvin, what's been your personal experience as far as the results of treating patients with PRP?
Well, your examples were right on there. PRP is chock full of growth factors. PRP, just to get one thing very clear, it is not a stem cell treatment. It is filled with growth factors which promote healing, and the best application are tendon and ligaments. It can be accessory or in addition to a stem cell treatment for an osteoarthritic joint, for example. It may slow a bone-on-bone situation, osteoarthritic shoulder, knee, elbow, but stem cells would probably be better utilized in that situation. Tennis elbow, ligament strain and injuries, it's very fast healing because it has growth factors like platelet-derived growth factor, transforming growth factor, fibroblast growth factor, insulin-like growth factor 1 and 2, vascular endothelial growth factor, so it helps promote the growth of vessels, epidermal growth factor, interleukin 8, cytokine, a keratinocyte growth factor, and connective tissue growth factor. So you can even hear from the origin of those words. It helps the growth and promotion and healing of all different tissues within the body.
So what would, all right, so how would you make a distinction then between PRP and stem cells? So what exactly is a stem cell, and would you use that alone? You know, in other words, instead of PRP or in conjunction with PRP, how are they being used?
You're going to get more...
Wait. You hear that music in the background, which means it's time for another break. So we'll have to get to the answer to that question right after this. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist, and our special guest, Dr. Colleen Galvin. And when we come back, we'll talk about stem cells.
And I'm here to tell you about Dr. Herb Slavin, the medical director of the Institute of Advanced Medicine in Lauderhill. The Institute brings the latest natural approaches to health, supported by research. We offer a full range of traditional and holistic treatments. The primary goal of the Institute of Advanced Medicine is to give you, the patient, the information you need to stay healthy and live long. So before you feel sick, before you develop symptoms, come see the team at the Institute of Advanced Medicine. You can call today, 954-748-4991, to learn all about the services offered at the Institute. Services from on-demand to chiropractic, from natural skin solutions to nutrition testing and support. 954-748-4991. You can visit drslavin.com to learn more.
Advanced Medical Testing Centers is proud to sponsor Natural Doc Radio, co-hosted by Dr. Herbert Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor. We are located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, Suite 209 in Lauderhill. And you can find us on the web at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is your premier blood draw center, staffed by professionals with over 15 years' experience, clean, comfortable, and efficient. We guarantee your appointment time and guarantee the lowest price. We test for cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, and more. We draw for all specialty labs, including Access, Health Diagnostic, Singulex, Innovative, Quest, LabCorp, and others. Call us today to set up an appointment. 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332.
Listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist, and our special guest, Dr. Colleen Galvin. We're talking about PRP and stem cells, and stem cells have a lot of potential uses besides just injecting joints and perhaps preventing the need for hip replacements or knee replacements. But there's also a lot of controversy surrounding stem cells, and it makes it difficult for the consumer to decide what approach to take. So what recommendations would you give to the consumer?
First, I'd make very clear that they know that these are autologous stem cells. So when we have a consultation, I sit down and explain that stem cells are coming either from your fat, maybe your belly, your love handles, or from bone marrow, which is from the iliac crest in your bones. The application for stem cells, it's far stronger an effect than that of PRP. So then when you do have someone who is, case in point, avascular necrosis of the hip, of a serious non-healing bone of a leg or an arm, that is an application for stem cells, whereas the tendons and ligaments is more an application for PRP. And the stem cell acquisition, of course, is a little more invasive because you have to do a small amount of, say, liposuction to get the stem cells, which are numerous, we've discovered, within our fat cells. No one ever uses embryonic cells or fetal cells. That is really the purview of a scientific laboratory in a petri dish, but not for injection, ever.
Now, I'm looking at a doctor whom I happen to know, his website, talking about stem cells, and I think he has a very good use for that, and that's in osteoarthritis.
Right.
Because if you can, especially in the elderly, because they may not be your best candidate for surgery, and if you want to try and give them a safe alternative to the typical drugs they use for the pain associated with osteoarthritis, which is the wear and tear type of arthritis, the use of stem cells is an option. But the question that comes up is, if you have an elderly patient, and you mentioned the word autologous, meaning you're getting the stem cells from the patient, not from some other source, are old stem cells as good as young stem cells from a younger patient?
No, they're not.
So that, which means that treating an older patient with their own stem cells, you're not going to get the same beneficial effects?
It really depends on the patient, I have to tell you. If the patient is very healthy and taking care of themselves, you may get fabulous results, you know, and it can put off the need for a surgery or reduce the inflammation to such an extent they don't need to take non-steroidal anti-inflammatories. And but there are, you know, you may want to at that point say, hey, we need to add the PRP, the growth factors, to enhance your 73-year-old stem cells.
Now, the stem cells are primarily derived from fat as opposed to bone marrow, or both?
Yeah, you can use one or the other or even all three, but it's far easier. It's a simple office procedure to get the fat, whereas bone marrow requires a more invasive operation.
All right. So basically, when the procedure is done, the stem cells are taken from the patient, so they're just getting their own stem cells injected in the area that needs to be healed. And after they've been extracted, they're purified and then injected back. And a lot of times, like Dr. Galvin just said, they require help from growth and support factors, which would be coming from the PRP.
Correct.
So here are some of the indications for the use of stem cell injections. You have rotator cuff injuries, bicep tendonitis. You have tears in the hip and shoulder. In other words, you don't have conditions that are surgical candidates, but you have injuries that need to be repaired. And the unfortunately, the mainstream medicine's approach is to inject steroids, which may relieve inflammation, but really don't do much as far as healing. You have the tennis elbow. You have non-healing fractures, osteoarthritis, injuries to ligaments, degenerative disc disease, sciatica, chronic neck and back pain, headaches. I'm not sure about post-concussion syndrome, because I don't know how you would get the stem cells into the brain. Have you heard of the use of stem cells in that situation?
Yes, actually, Dr. Ashok Shetty, S-H-E-T-T-Y, who became famous for his study as resveratrol, is a neurologist and just published grafted subventricular zone neural stem cells play robust engraftment similar to differentiation properties and form in neurogenic niches in the young and aged hippocampus. So this is actually the placement of neural stem cells into the hippocampus of the brain.
So I guess they're also working on using stem cells as a treatment for Alzheimer's disease.
Yes.
So I think there's a lot in the future regarding stem cells. And I think there's probably a lot of resistance against this approach because you've sort of cut out the pharmaceutical industry here.
They're trying hard to make it a product.
Okay, so they mean you have to buy it from them. So, you know what I'd like to do, and I don't know when, but I think there are a lot of people that are interested in learning more about the use of platelet-rich plasma and stem cells. And we'll work on putting together a seminar in the office, and then we'll announce it when we've picked a date and time for that. Because I think this is an important option that people should be aware of. Because it's been used instead of total hip replacements, especially if you identify someone early on before they've completely destroyed the hip. You can really save a person a big operation. Hip and knee replacements, you can prevent the need for that. I'll give you a quick story, and then we'll probably run out of time. I had a patient once. Now, I didn't understand why at the age of 50 he had a total knee done, but he did. And when I saw him, he was on chronic antibiotics because there was an infection in that joint replacement. And then after a year or so of trying to get rid of the infection, they had to actually amputate because, you know, you have a foreign body in there and you really can't heal things. So there are risks associated with surgery. And I'll give you another example that you can even check out yourself, Dick Schaap. He was a sports announcer in New York. His first hip replacement went fine, but his second hip replacement ran into complications. And typically the complications will be infections, and he died. So, you know, probably doesn't happen that often, but if you have a safer alternative, it's something to consider. But you just have to do your research so you... you know exactly the appropriate time for that. Janet, we're just about out of time. Do you have any added thoughts?
I do. One of the things that I'm thinking about is how to produce the healthiest platelets so that the PRP and then ultimately stem cells, if they're going to be used in a focused therapy, The patient really does want to work on nutritional support, and you would first do some blood testing to see where you might need to focus your efforts, and then you would work on your dietary approach, because you don't want anything that is going to detract from the quality of your blood cells. So both testing to determine where to focus and a dietary evaluation to make sure that you have eliminated from your daily routines any food intake that would be detrimental.
All right. And Jenna, we're just about out of time, so if our listeners want to find you, do they have to go to the tennis court?
Well, what I'm planning on doing is on Monday, I'll make an announcement on the radio about how people can find me. Okay?
All right. Fair enough.
All right.
You've been listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. And our special guest today, Dr. Colleen Galvin. And we'll be back tomorrow. Bye-bye, everybody.
Been listening to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Listen every day for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in again next time and get healthy. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.